Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the host of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a blog and a podcast. And as you may already know, I talk about all things health and wellness related. Sometimes I include some things that are a little bit more spiritual and woo-woo and about, you know, the intuitive world. But for the most part, I'm all health and wellness related. So this week's episode actually features my favorite podcasters and bloggers, the Almost 30 Girls. And I did it in a little bit of a different style than I traditionally would. They are often on a lot of different podcasts and they get a lot of questions about their wellness journeys. And I actually interviewed both of them for my blog. You can search the blog and I chat with them a lot about like hormones and different things like that. So for this podcast episode, what I did was I logged into their secret Facebook group for the Almost 30 Girls. And I asked everybody in the group to just give me some questions about what they would want to know from them. So this is more of like a Q&A session. And that was really cool. We also kind of jump around a little bit because of that. But I think it's a really great episode, especially if you're a fan of the girls. And I also want to mention that this episode was brought to you by my affiliation with Beauty Counter. All my proceeds from Beauty Counter help fund my blog and my podcast, so if you'd like to go check it out, I will leave that link in the show notes. And without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. I'm really excited. Hi, everyone, and before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout-out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding, so you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, You squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions, and it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies, but because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook, and again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized, and Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hello, honey.
Hi, how are you, Erica?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
So good. So good. We've just been in interviews today, doing the thing, but we're really excited, you know, to talk to you and to be on your podcast. It's been such a joy to see, you know, you grow, and we're so excited about this podcast that you're doing. So ready to rock with you today.
Aw, thank you so much. So as I explained before, we're going to do like a Q&A based off the secret Facebook group that Almost 30 Podcast has. Everybody kind of contributed a bunch of questions, so let's fit in as many questions as we can.
Love it. Let's do it. We're ready.
Okay, so first question. What are, let's see. How do you keep the hustle going with a job, a podcast, relationships, and things like that? How do you guys balance everything?
Great question. We get this often. So we have not perfected what balance perhaps traditionally should feel like. It's a constant dance, to be honest, and it's pretty apparent to us because we're so connected to what we feel is our purpose, that there are times when, you know, the podcast needs most of our love and energy. And then Chris and I are really good about checking in with one another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chris is in a relationship, and if we need a weekend where we really need to take some personal time for the people that we love and, you know, ourselves, it's important to kind of then dance and go heavy on the other stuff. But when you're building a business like we are doing, we also do know the value in sacrifice. So we're not, you know, going out and partying, kind of like wasting our time. We're not watching TV a lot. We are 100% focused on making this as big as the feeling and the entity that tapped us on the shoulder to create Almost 30. You know, it's so much bigger than us. It's a spirit. It's an energy that we, you know, are pulled to collaborate with.
Yeah, and I would just, that's exactly what I think. I would just add to that. I think I always say the shortened decision-making time. So I don't really think much, like, when I figure out I want something or I have the pull to do something, I pretty much do it. I don't really sit around and, you know, look at Instagram or, you know, like ask my friends or, you know, I don't really do a lot of research on stuff. So as an example, I'm going on a trip soon, going to Japan. I'm just going to research for maybe 20 minutes and I'm going to do it. It's going to make it happen. So with Almost 30, Lindsay and I are pretty quick to make decisions about the business. We're pretty quick to ask for help. I think that's also really important. So, making sure that once you get a tap or an idea, to just go for it.
I love that. That's really great advice. So kind of sticking along those lines, somebody else sent in this question. And since your podcast is called Almost 30, what one piece of advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
My 20-year-old self. I would say to meditate. I said that. You know, I really think that my life would be so much different if I would have started to meditate earlier. And I noticed
the biggest shift in my life than starting meditation. I have so much more control over my emotions and thoughts and the direction that my life is going. And it's really just launched my spiritual practice. And then I would say too, that like, you don't need to drink to be, you can stop acting like, I didn't like drinking ever. I remember just like dreading it. I didn't like the party scene. I would always like, me and my friends would always say, we're like, okay, we got to get wasted before we go out. We don't really want to talk to anyone at the bar anyways. So we got to like black out to just get the night over with. And like, cause we didn't even really enjoy it. So, to really just like honor what your gut and what your heart is telling you and not question it and not be swayed by popular opinion. So I wish I would have just like been like, okay, I don't like drinking or I don't like partying and kind of just gone with that and not done it sooner, than when I stopped drinking and partying like 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah. And I would say, I spent a lot of time, focused on what I didn't have or who I haven't met yet or, you know, achievements that I'm super far from and figuring out ways outside of myself to achieve those things, meet those people. And it was a lot of wasted energy. So I guess it's more so just turning inward and knowing that everything that's supposed to happen for you in your life, every dream that you have, because it comes from you, you do already have what it takes to do it. So, you know, part of that practice is, I definitely agree, meditation, is journaling. So getting out of your head at that age, I think, is really important. However you do that, whether it's working out, journaling, meditation, expressing yourself creatively in ways that might not necessarily be a part of a business, but just you're able to kind of find this outlet so that you're not overthinking anything, which creates like these blocks between what, you know, where you are and where you want to go. Truly, you already are it. It's just a matter of like vibrating as if you already have it. And then all of a sudden you open your eyes and you have it, you know?
Absolutely. I love that. And I totally agree with like the whole drinking thing too. I always think, you know, how much I could have accomplished in my early 20s if I wasn't so focused on like going out and partying and all that, like that kind of lifestyle.
You waste so much time.
Totally. So definitely being on the podcast, you both have opened up to a lot of vulnerability. Which definitely isn't something that comes natural to everyone. And for a lot of people, you kind of have to like work towards that openness and level of vulnerability. So how were you guys able to accomplish that and really work through that, especially being on the podcast?
Yeah, I think I've always been kind of open in that way. Having had like acting training, it is basically therapy every time you're in class. So I was always maybe oversharing. And so, you know, when we started the podcast, I was certainly an open book and actually found that there were some things that I should keep private, you know, but there are definitely certain things that I realized were part of bigger conversations that needed to be had. And so our community was chiming in when Krista and I were opening up about certain things, and we realized, wow, we're not alone, and wow, this needs to be talked about. So again, that's also a dance where, you know, we do want to keep part of our lives private, and then we also want to be super open in ourselves so that like we keep attracting amazing people like you, you know. It's just, it's liberating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we have the benefit, you know, Lindsay and I never knew that this was going to be what it is. So a lot of the vulnerability is really easy when you don't, you're not looking at, you know, we have opportunities and we are very vulnerable to large crowds of people in person, but it's just me and Lindsay, like, on microphones in a room. So it's so easy to be vulnerable when you're talking to your best friends, and then you're like, oh yeah, 500,000 people listen to it every month. You know, you kind of like see that after the fact. And now our vulnerability is one of our, you know, one of the most important parts of the podcast. And it wouldn't be what it is today if it didn't have the vulnerability. And for us, we wouldn't be successful without it. And I think that is so important now in the world today, that people are seeing right through people that aren't being vulnerable, or people that have something to say and aren't saying it. So it's really important for us to continue to be vulnerable and continue to be really honest with you, our audience in almost 30 nations, because it is, that's what makes others also be vulnerable with us.
100%. I totally agree with you guys. I feel like that's what really sets you guys apart and makes you guys so relatable. And it almost makes us all feel like we're so invested in what you guys are doing, you know, being on the listening end. So it's really fun. I love that about you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So another question that someone sent in was, who are some of the women that you guys look up to?
I really am looking up to, I really like Issa Rae. She's a director, producer, actress on Insecure. I really admired her journey, and then Insecure is my favorite show that I've ever watched. And I love the format of it. I love the structure. I love the realness. I love the music. I love everything about it. So she is really inspiring to me. And then, I mean, Lindsay and I are lucky enough to interview inspiring people every single day. So every single person that we interview provides an opportunity to be inspired. So, I mean, if we put out the podcast, we've been inspired by that person. So it's just a continuing inspirational conversation that we get to engage in every day.
Yeah, I mean, same. There's so many female expanders in our presence. It's almost overwhelming at times. We get to collaborate with them. We get to pick their brain, learn firsthand from them. And, you know, I do think it's the time for that, to kind of look to your peers. It doesn't necessarily have to be those that have achieved so much more than you. They're kind of like in our realm and are on our track, per se. And so I'm just constantly looking for those women who are as transparent about their process as we have been, are as like authentic in themselves, because then I'm able to see myself in them, you know, like, and everyone has a story, but not everyone shares that. But I'm just really interested in the highs and the lows and the in-betweens and the setbacks. And so, yeah, it's just an everyday. I'm literally meeting them every day. It's kind of crazy.
I love that. With that being said, do you guys have any, like, dream podcast guests or, like, anybody that you guys are trying to, like, manifest?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga, Issa Rae, Donald Glover. Those are my, like, manifesting right now.
I think, like, we're attracted to, stories. And it doesn't have to be just health, wellness, and whatever. It's really Ariel. Oh, Ariel. Ariel's one of my expanders, so I like
Ariel.
Bow down her. I don't know. I'm in awe of so many people, and they don't necessarily have to be a name. But those are definitely some of our main dream guests.
Who would you like to see on the podcast, Erica?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like I have to think about that. You guys have such a good variety.
We really want to have a variety.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to answer that by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, no pressure, honey. Just email us.
So a lot of people wanted to know about your routine. So your morning routine, nighttime routines. Do you guys have any type of rituals or anything like that that you absolutely positively have to fit into your day?
Yeah. And I kind of change mine up. I say once a month. Sometimes routine for me gives me this weird permission to, I don't know, like go into autopilot, and I don't go as deeply into, say, meditation as I would if I, unless I kind of change up the way in which I meditate. So Krista introduced me to meditation. I had always heard about it. My dad did transcendental meditation, and he always told me about it. Why don't you take a class? And I guess you do it when it's ready, you know, the right time for you. And so what I've been doing lately, I'll get up in the morning. I have finally committed to not having my cell phone in my bedroom.
Good for you. You know,
I know. Well, the thing is, I always think about it. I'm like, well, if I was in a relationship and say someone was in my bed, it'd be even easier, because then I could like have that connection and not really have that thought of, oh, let me mindlessly or check email or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
At least for me, that rings true. So it's out of my bedroom. I wake up to really beautiful music that I love, something that just kind of sets the tone. I turn it off. I make it some sort of elixir. I don't really love to eat a ton in the morning before I teach class or work out. So I'll fast in the morning, but I'll make like a Four Sigmatic or tea, or sometimes like a little coffee, whatever it is. But then I'll meditate, and I like to meditate to sound, to music, whether it's actual songs or 432 hertz or Sacred Acoustics. We just interviewed Karen Newell, who is behind Sacred Acoustics. But I just, you know, I'm really forgiving, because some days it's 5 minutes, some days it's 15. Sometimes it's longer than that. But if I'm only in it for 5 minutes, that's great, you know. And after I come out of that, I've been pulling cards. It's like a witchy, it's honestly a witchy morning. So anyone
or magical. Their
yeah, it's witchy and magical, but I pull a card for the day. And sometimes if I think of someone, if someone pops into my head, I pull a card for them too. Sometimes I'll send it to them. And if I feel like they'll get freaked out, I don't. And I just kind of make a note on that. And then I'll journal for like 5 minutes, just because like I have thoughts when I wake up. And sometimes those thoughts are like a little judgmental about maybe what happened the day before or what I have to do today. So I'm just like kind of getting those out. And then I hop on email, to be honest with you. So I'm checking like what came in overnight, the day, like after I went to bed, early morning, all of that, and just kind of catching up with the team. Krista's up early, so we're usually connecting early. And then I go on with my day, whatever that looks like. But I really do love slow mornings. And having that time for myself, I notice a complete difference, you know, when I don't do it and when I do.
Yeah, and for me, I've kind of been out of my routine recently since my move, and, you know, being on tour, we've been thrown in just a lot of different places and situations, so I've really been missing it, and I've noticed a difference when I'm not really taking the time to be in my routine. And it's really easy to like get tempted to get out of it. You know, I found myself recently kind of wanting to not be in it, and kind of wanting to numb, because we're doing so much and we're thinking so much that you kind of need a break. But when I'm being really good, and when I'm going to slowly get better at it, which I am normally, I'm waking up and I'm, you know, being grateful for the body that I'm in and for the situation that I'm in, taking a moment with Justin, you know, to hug Justin and be so thankful that I wake up to, this man that I love and a place that I love. And then I will, I've been doing celery juice lately. So Press Juicery has celery juice that they sell. I don't know if people have Press Juicery everywhere, but, celery juice is really good. Or I'll do lime juice. We had Jill Wellard on the podcast, and she talked a lot about lime juice, so I bought like a gallon of lime juice. So I'll try and do something that's like a little detoxifying that gets things moving in the morning. And then I will, after that, meditate. So I will meditate for about 15, 20 minutes. I'll put an alarm on. And I will just kind of go through a breath work with a mantra. And I think that has been just like the most important part of setting up my day in the best way possible. And during that time, you know, if I'm not getting really deep into meditation, I'll kind of give myself a little pep talk and I'll tell myself I'm awesome and amazing and all of those things. And then after that, it's a workout. I usually try to do fasted workouts. Kelly Levesque, we've had on the podcast, talks a lot about doing fasted workouts because it really helps with hormones and it really helps to increase something. And after that, I'll have like a morning smoothie with avocado and protein, basically. But the most important routines in my life really involve gratitude, involve now speaking to my spirit guides out loud. They involve meditation, and they involve being present. So thinking about my feet on the ground, my head crown connected to source, connected to God, clothes on my body, and just trying to bring myself back to present.
I love what strong like morning routines you guys have. That's really awesome. I feel like your morning routine is like really hard to, because it's so individualized, it's really hard to like kind of find that flow and find what works for you.
Yeah, it's kind of like people, I just feel like so many people don't realize how much control they have over their life. So if you are in a shitty job that you don't like, and you feel like you can't control that situation, or you're in a relationship that's shitty and you can't control the situation, try and think about the places in your life where you do have control, and one of those could be a morning. So, you know, I don't have kids. I hope to someday, but even that would be waking up 45 minutes before the kids, or waking up an hour before you start to work to actually get control of your day and get grounded in what is happening are so important to really feeling and showing up as your best self.
Absolutely. And I love how you guys have also integrated not only the meditation, but also how you were saying, like, talking to your spirit guides and pulling cards. I think that would be really cool if you guys did, like, a very spiritual podcast episode. Because I feel like, at least me personally, like, I love that stuff. But, like, I don't really talk about it because I feel like people are very judgy about it. But there's no reason to be. And I'm actually really curious, what kind of cards do you pull? Are they like angel cards or tarot cards?
Yeah, so I pull them. We both have different decks, but each of us is really connected to our mm-hmm. decks, and they've been super accurate. I have the Mesquite Tarot deck, MESQUITE, and then which is like super poetic, actionable, but I just love the aesthetic of it as well, and I'm very connected to that deck. And then I have this Journey of Love deck, which I like to pull for my love life. And then what do you have? I forgot.
I have a Dorian Virtue Angel deck. It's purple. She's an OG. And yeah, it's just kind of like messages from my angel. So I'll pull a card and it will tell me, like, slow down or have gratitude or trust us. And it's really fun. Like, it's just a silly thing, but I truly believe in the power of it. And as much as you believe, it's as much as you will get out of something like that. So if you have a deck that you do not believe in and you do not think that it's going to work, maybe it will work, but the chances are very unlikely. So, you know, if you have an interest or an inkling to that, kind of maybe work up to it, pull some cards, see how they feel. But it's just like another really fun thing that makes me feel really connected to source.
I totally agree. I actually used to pull from the angel deck before I got pregnant. And now that I'm pregnant, I have pregnancy affirmation cards. And I can't tell you and I can't tell you how many times I like pull one and I'll be like, you know, I'll be in my head about labor, how I'm worried about labor. And then I'll pull a card and it's like, your body is made to do this, you know. And I totally agree. You're meant to see that message if you believe.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So cool.
Yeah. It's been a really unique journey. So I love that you guys are into the affirmation cards as well. So another question I have, this is kind of on the other end of the health spectrum, but everybody wants to know kind of how your diets are. If you guys, I guess, are kind of like religious to like a keto diet or paleo diet, or if you are more so like an intuitive eaters, especially you, Lindsay, because you know, have to keep that high energy being a fitness instructor.
Yeah, it's been a struggle at times to understand what nutrients I need in order to feel the energy required to do what I do. Thankfully now I'm teaching half the amount of classes I was teaching, so there's definitely been a shift. But what I realized, just for me personally, I was eating, I was basically vegetarian for a while, maybe like, I don't know, 9 months. And every once in a while I would eat fish, but mainly my intake was fruits and vegetables and nuts and legumes and things like that. And I was experiencing super low energy. So for me personally, I do need some really, really high quality animal protein every once in a while. That certainly does not mean large portions of it, and that does not mean every single day for me. What feels good to my body lately is having, you know, a pretty conservative portion of high quality red meat, maybe once every week and a half, 2 weeks. It's not very often. I intuitively eat when it comes to meat. My body literally tells me, like, this is what I'm craving. But I basically stick to fish, so wild salmon. I'm just kind of obsessed with where the meat is coming from. If I'm going to eat meat, I want to make sure that, you know, it's ethically sourced. I believe that there's an energy in that food. So for me personally, I do incorporate meat because that's what my body has craved. But majority of my diet is plant-based. I've been having really good results being in more healthy fats. So avocado, coconut butter, coconut oil. And I mix in MCT oil in my elixirs in the morning. We recently spoke to Dave Asprey of the Bulletproof Diet. So that's something that's really worked for me to, in a good way, curb my appetite so that, you know, I'm not just eating out of boredom. And also my brain fog has completely lifted by incorporating these healthy fats on a regular basis. And then for me, it's always a struggle to stay hydrated, you know, so making sure that I'm eating my water as well, whether it's cucumbers, celery. Celery is amazing. Krista mentioned celery juice, so I do that, and I also do actual celery. And just making sure that I'm drinking water with electrolytes. Sometimes I'll add electrolytes, like the noon tablets. And then ever since moving out to LA, you know, I don't really drink as much anymore, and that's made a huge impact on my health. I do enjoy a glass of wine every once in a while, dirty martini here and there, but I am certainly, it's not at the top of my mind at the end of a day like it used to be, which feels really, really good. I like look forward to kind of nourishing my body at the end of the day, which wasn't always my thinking. At the end of the day, when I was living in New York City, it was get me a big bottle of wine to crack open with my friends, get me shitty food. You know, I'm feeling like I need to be rewarded for all the hard work I did today. You know, it was very counterintuitive. I don't know what I was thinking, but it's completely shifted.
I love that. Yeah, and it's all about balance. I mean, you have to, you know, be able to have your dirty martini, but definitely listening to your body. And especially I love how you were talking about eating your water too. I feel like a lot of people forget that's even an option. They're like, oh, I can't drink that much water in a day. And realistically, yeah, there's other options there as well. Krista, what about you? Since we've talked kind of extensively about your history with, you know, the imbalance of your hormones and everything, what kind of diet have you found works for you?
So what Erica's talking about is a post that I did on her blog, and then also a post on my blog, but really my hormone health journey. So about a year and a half ago when I moved from, or I guess longer now, 3 years maybe, or 2 years, when I moved from New York to LA, I got pretty sick in a way. I every afternoon would could not keep my eyes open. I was just sleeping all the time. I put on a lot of weight. I was feeling really lethargic, really groggy, really not like myself. And I went through hormone testing and figured out I had hormonal imbalances. So from that point, I really had to make sure to change my diet from what it was previously. In New York, I was vegetarian. I've been vegetarian for about 10 years now, or 12 years now. And but I wasn't really being that conscious about what I was eating. And I had to start to really make sure that I was getting in all the nutrients from being, you know, kind of sick with adrenal fatigue and my hormonal health issue. And during that time, too, I went vegan. And I'm plant-based vegan now, like a dirty vegan. I'll have collagen and honey and eggs every once in a while. But my veganism is really aligned to the ethical reasons. It's not necessarily aligned to the health reasons specifically, because I, you know, there might be a better way, but for me, it's just been something that's been a part of my life that I really am aligned to. But for Lindsay and I on the podcast too, we hear so many different diets and suggestions and ideas and so many different things that it's kind of hard, you know, to not take on these different subscriptions to different diets or whatever. So I really actually struggle with that. I think I hear so much information that I want to try something new and I want to do something new all the time, to be honest, which is really hard. But I have found the common thread, or we have found the common thread, or, you know, everyone knows this, but really just focusing on getting as many vegetables or plants in your diet as possible makes me feel the best. So I really try and focus on that and just do the best I can. I'm definitely not perfect, and I definitely really, really struggle with diet and nutrition and body image and things related to that. So for me, I'm not necessarily really the best advice, because it's really a constant struggle for me.
I totally can appreciate that. And even though you're calling it a struggle, I feel like it's just life. Like, things are just constantly changing in your life, your career, the busyness and everything. So I feel like it's just always an, you know, kind of a never ending building block that you're on.
Yeah, completely agree. I think that's such a great point, and it's not necessarily a struggle, because that's the thing with eating and diets. Like, every day you have to do it. So, just trying to, you know, find joy in that, kind of release any pressure that I have on myself to be or look a certain way or eat a certain way.
Totally. So kind of shifting gears here, since we have to wrap up, since you guys are so busy. Another question that I got was, what do you guys do for fun? I know you guys love to work out and podcasting, and you know, you guys have so much on your plate. You're touring, which is freaking awesome. But what do you guys do, like, in your free time, if you guys actually have free time?
I don't really know. I actually say that all the time. I, actually talk about this all the time. I don't really know what doing stuff for fun is, and that's really bad. But that's always been my struggle in life, is that I always have to find, the actual purpose of something. And it's kind of, a bad quality that I have, where if I don't find something that has an actual purpose or a reason for doing something, I don't want to do it. So having fun is kind of hard for me. I don't really go out to brunch, or I don't really go out to whatever, because I'm constantly, seeking. But something that, you know, that falls into my lap that's very easy to have fun is being with Justin. And that's just really easy for me. You know, it's really easy to be in a relationship and turn off and be together and relax, because he forces me to do that. But, you know, we are so lucky, and I don't mean to, you know, say what I said in a negative way, because what I do every day is fun to me. It's definitely challenging and it's up and down, but I feel so lucky that talking to almost 30 Nation and the Facebook group is so fun. you know, messaging DMs, interviewing people that are incredible is the best. Like, I live a life where, and it sounds corny, but I don't really feel like I need to always seek out fun, because fun is, like, brought into our life in different ways, you know, rather than, like, having to seek it out.
I completely agree, yeah. I think, you know, we're just very grateful that what we do is both fulfilling, mm-hmm. fun, challenging, rewarding, like all of the things. I do, for me personally, I like to carve out time, whether that's just me being by myself, that's kind of fun for me. It's my time to recharge, my time to turn off maybe the business side of the podcast brain, where I could just say, like, I love to just be still and let ideas come to me rather than like, oh my God, I got to think of this and this and this. It's just kind of finding stillness. So sometimes that's by myself. Sometimes I've been trying to schedule in like 2 to 3 hours with a friend one-on-one. So like, I'm going to do like a couple hours at the beach with a friend at some point this weekend, just to kind of like, you know, get out there. Like, it's easy for me, like, I'm an introvert at heart, so like, it's easy for me to like not seek out social situations. So if I'm one-on-one, I really value that time, and usually I get ideas by hanging out with people in that way. And also I carve out time. For me, fun is also giving love and energy to my other things, my other talents, I suppose. So singing, you know, I met up with a friend the other day and we just like wrote a song. Like, and although, you know, I put it in my calendar as though it was an appointment, because it's important to me that I took those 2 hours to do that, because I'm going to be so much better for almost 30 for every other thing that I do. I like to find balance in that way.
Very cool. And actually, until you brought that up, I totally forgot that you also sing, because I've seen a couple of your videos. You were really good.
Oh, thanks. I mean, it's just more, you know, I'm not looking to be the next pop star or anything. It's more just a part of who I've always been. And so when I don't sing or give love to that, I kind of like don't feel like myself. There's something missing. And sometimes it takes me a little while to realize what it is, and then I'm like, oh my God, I haven't sang, or I haven't created, you know, some fun content with actor friends. Like, it's just kind of a part of who I am, and if I'm not doing that on a regular basis, I get it in a little bit of a funk.
Gotcha. I like it though. I think you should keep it up. I feel like we need to like post some of those videos in the Almost 30 Facebook group.
Yeah, they love it.
So I have one more question for you guys, and I ask everybody who comes on the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
I like the new Health Aid jalapeno kiwi. Have you had that? It's so freaking good. It's like my mouth watering right now. It's sweet and it's spicy, but Health Aid definitely is, you know, we had Dana Trout on the podcast. She had a great episode, but they're... Kombucha is definitely my favorite brand. It's like, it feels the least sweet, and it feels like the most bubbly, and I just love that kind.
Yeah, I also love Health Aid. They have some pretty, like, unique flavors, and yeah. I might have to look it up to find it, but there's one with, like, sweet berry thorn, I love, and then there's like a reishi.
Oh, the reishi chocolate, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of like the weird flavors. I do love kombucha, but I've kind of cut down a little bit because I was just drinking way too much of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, same. So when you're pregnant, you can have kombucha, but you just have to have it in like small increments. So
okay. First
trimester, I didn't have it at all, just because I was like being a paranoid, you know, new mother. I'm like, no, I'm just going to cut it out for a little bit. And then second trimester, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to have a little bit. So I've been drinking it regularly, And now that I'm in my third trimester, I just had a medium tell me, she was like, they're telling me that you need to cut back on kombucha maybe. And I was like, totally freaked me out. So I was like, all right, I guess no more kombucha until the baby's here.
That medium was really right.
Damn.
Right? How, like, accurate. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, guys. I totally appreciate it, and I value your time, and I loved all of your responses.
Thank you so much for having us, truly.
We love you so much, and we're so grateful that you're part of the community. Like, you're so sweet to everyone in the group, and you've been so good to me. So excited, and let us know where we can share.